Well, it's Transfiguration Sunday, and it's another one of those times in the church calendar when we're visiting something that we're familiar with, at least most of us are, I think. It's a story that certainly perplexes us, but it's one that we've come across more than once already. And as I was thinking about the Transfiguration, and I was doing a little bit of extra reading just to see what other people think about it. It's always helpful to hear what other people think, not because you don't know anything, but often, if you get the right person, they can sort of trigger something and get you to start thinking in different ways. And one of the things that I came across was someone talking about how Christianity and how our belief in God has got mystery in it. And we've talked about this often, and it's one of those things that's inescapable if we're going to do sort of due diligence to the text. There are things here in Scripture that are a mystery to us. They're not a mystery like a murder mystery is, like a Hercule Poirot or something like that. It's a much different sense of the word mystery. It's something that's beyond us. And there's nothing wrong with having things beyond us. There are some things we'll understand when we're older, is what I keep telling my kids. I think they believe me now and then. Then there are some things that we'll never really understand. We'll never really understand what it means to be eternal, because, well, we can't understand that, because for all of us, there was a time when we weren't. We believe on the basis of Scripture that we'll be immortal, but we won't be eternal. We won't end, but we had to begin. The Trinity's a mystery. We don't know what it means entirely to be three and one, and one and three at the same time. And the Transfiguration's a bit of a mystery, too. We have this story of Jesus going with his inner circle with Peter, James, and John, going up on a mountain, and he's transfigured. And it's a mystery for a lot of reasons. It's a mystery because it's a bit of a puzzle. Like, why does it happen at all? I'm not entirely sure about that. And it's a mystery, as I was reading at least one person talking about this glimpse into Christ's fundamentally divine nature doesn't really explain things, and it's not supposed to explain things. And when we see things that we don't understand, we try to figure them out. We try to analyze them. We try to explain them. Sometimes we're trying to explain them away so we don't have to think about them anymore. And there's nothing wrong with that when we're dealing with a puzzle. But sometimes we want to explain them so they don't bother us anymore. And this is one of those mysteries that declines to be explained away. We have Transfiguration in other places in Scripture, and Walter read them for us this morning. We see this in the Old Testament, where Moses would go and he would speak with God. You come back and he was changed. He was changed in a way that was unmistakable. He glowed. Doesn't surprise me that people didn't want to come near him when they first saw it. A glowing person. I mean, they didn't know, well, right now we'd probably think they were radioactive and run away for that. Obviously they didn't know that. But there was something fundamentally different about Moses. He was changed. It was different for Moses because the change wasn't permanent. It faded. And he put the veil over his face. And some commentators say he put it there specifically so people wouldn't see that it was fading, so that they would never forget that Moses interacted with God in a way that they hadn't, to the point where it actually changed him. And in our Corinthians reading, we also see Paul talking about transfiguration, about being changed. But what Paul's talking about isn't a temporary change. He's not talking about this glow that Moses had just because of the experience of being that close to God or being with God in a new way. Paul's saying that we can actually be transformed, and we can be changed in a permanent way, not a temporary way like Moses was. And it's an interesting thing that the lectionary has us read them in this sequence, that we read about Moses, first of all, who was temporarily changed, transfigured, if you will. And then we read Paul talking about how, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, obviously alluding to Moses, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Paul is talking about a gradual transformation that's going to transfigure us in an eventually permanent way. We're being transformed. In a sense, when Moses experienced God that close, it was like a light switch, I think. He was there, and then this transformation, the transfiguration, this glow appeared. And it was borrowed, almost, if you will. It was very much a reflection of the fundamental reality and glory of God. But it faded. Paul's talking about something different, using similar imagery. And it's not that Moses lost God when the glow faded. We don't want to get too caught up in this as an analogy. But what Paul is talking about is that there's a transfiguration that's possible, a transformation that will become permanent within us, that begins at the moment that we move into that relationship with God through Jesus, powered by the Holy Spirit, that changes who we are. That changes who we are from the inside out in a way that will at least eventually be permanent. That there will be a time when we are ultimately and completely transformed into what we were created to be. One of the other mysteries, or at least challenges for us, is grappling with this whole idea of the fall, of how God could create the world in perfection, however that happened. We were talking before the service even began, whatever the sequence was, really doesn't matter. It's happened. We're here. The details are of interest to some, but not critical to our faith, of course. But to have perfection and then lose perfection, we don't really understand how that could happen, how God would let that happen. It doesn't make sense to us, and we simply accept it for what it is. And we look at passages like this one that Paul writes, that says that that's not the end of it. That there isn't a world in which sin entered, and that we now have a fallen world where things go wrong, where we get sick, where we die, and then that's it. Paul is saying that no, there comes, even in this world, the beginning of a transformation. And in other places, he talks about how it will be accomplished eventually in perfection. And in the same way that we don't know all the details about the creation, we don't know all the details about the end of everything either, except we know what's going to happen. And then the transformation will be complete. And when I was thinking of that, when I was thinking of the sequence, I began to wonder, is this the reason why we have the story of the Transfiguration? Because in some ways it really doesn't make a lot of sense that it would be there. The disciples already knew who Jesus was, at least as much as they could. What was the point of it? Most of the time when Jesus did things, his miracles, most of his parables, some of them are confusing, but most of them have a point that we can grapple with and understand, even if frequently we don't like it, but we know what it means. This one, I sometimes wondered, and sometimes still wonder, why is it there? Jesus had been quite open about his relationship with God, about how he was the Son of God in a way that the rest of us are not children of God. Why did he need to do this? And then it started me thinking that maybe we have the Transfiguration backwards. And we think that Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, but really he wasn't. That was when we saw him as he really was. He was transfigured all the rest of the time. When he looked like a person. That was the transfiguration. That was the change for Jesus, because his change went backwards. Ours will go the other way. Paul's transformation into that. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, because I'm not entirely sure that's the point. But it struck me as interesting that when people saw Moses glowing, they saw Moses in an unusual or not his normal state. That Peter, James, and John got to see Jesus as he really was. And as he'd always been. He'd always been that person. But the veil there wasn't over Jesus as much as it was over the eyes of those around him who couldn't see him as he really was. And I wonder if the Transfiguration, more than anything else, is there so we can see that, yes, the time will come when we too will be transformed. I don't know whether our clothes will glow white or be as white as they can possibly be. I don't know exactly what that ultimate transformation will be like. I think we'll be able to talk to people like Elijah and Moses. I think that heaven will, or the end of things, whatever that looks like, we think of it as heaven. I think we'll interact with these people that we've read about and we have tried to be like. And I wonder if the Transfiguration was, in a sense, a hint of what it'll be like for us, as well as a bit of guarantee that Jesus was who he said he was. When I was thinking of a sermon title, I was really baffled and couldn't come up with anything. So I ended up with just like the Transfigured as a question. And it was more useful than I thought, because I started thinking, are we transfigured? And to push this notion of transfiguration about as far as I can, Jesus was sometimes, at least in this case, seen to be who he actually was. The reality of Jesus as the Son of God, fully human and fully divine, was on display for those three disciples. Are we transfigured, moving in that direction, so that if our true nature could be seen, would we be closer to that than we were last week, 10 years ago, whatever we want to think? I think we are. One of the things that I take from Paul's writing that was read for us out of 2 Corinthians, this notion of us being transformed, is this sense of progress, that we go from where we began in our relationship with God to the ultimate relationship with God at whatever time that happens. But are we being transfigured even now? Or perhaps more to the point, transformed? We can wonder and perhaps debate the theological question of, when you move into that relationship with God through Jesus, is that a perfect relationship, at least in a theoretical framework that we just work out? I suppose we could. But instead, what I'd like us to think about, when we think of Jesus as the ultimate example of what it means to be a human, and when he revealed himself for who he actually was, and when we think of that in conjunction with Paul saying we're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, is that where we are? And I think it is. I think the story of the Transfiguration gives us another opportunity for us to reflect on our relationship with God, and to pay attention to the fact that we are further along in that relationship now than we were before. Oh, if you're that kind of person who's always hard on yourself, you're not as far along as you want to be. And of course we have areas in which we can grow to become more and more like Jesus. But perhaps we can use the opportunity of Transfiguration Sunday to celebrate how much closer we are to that ultimate transformation now than we were when we first began. That we can look at this as an opportunity for us to remember how far we've come. Not forgetting that we still have a ways to go, but instead of focusing on that, to think that this same Jesus, who when the veil was removed from his disciples, looked different. And that's the direction we're moving towards. That's what we've been called to become. Not Jesus. Called to become someone transformed to the point where we even look different. We act different. Because we are different. And so if the sermon title is a question, Transfigured, I think the answer is one of those, well, so frequently dissatisfying answers of yes and no. Yes, we are, but no, we're not done. And there's nothing wrong with that, with moving along, becoming more and more transformed into the likeness of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our relationship with Him, through Jesus. Amen.